Jones, June 26, 1901, typed, Brother Jones. In the council we held here together, statements were made by you in reference to Edson White, which I knew were not correct. But as I had been warned not to enter into controversy with anyone, I did not feel at liberty to express myself then. I determined to see you alone. I conversed with you alone, and made statements that I did not care to make before Edson. I might have said in the presence of Elder Irwin and Edson that which would have seriously reflected upon you, but I did not care to do this, for I had charged Edson not to become stirred up to speak unadvisedly whatever statements others might make. You have not dealt with his case in an unselfish way. Until you, Brother Wilcox, and others understood the matter upon which you were commenting, you should have held your peace. It was your duty to become acquainted with the southern field, even though this would have entailed some expense. It was the duty of those who had a knowledge of the light given in regard to the southern field to visit this field, that they might arrive at correct conclusions. It was not right for them to stand off and criticize, basing that which they said on the many reports of hearsay. It is the duty of each one of us to say unselfishly, "Help us to help each other, Lord." In the long-neglected southern field, there are whites and blacks who are in need of patient, persevering effort. This is a hard, poverty-stricken field, and where Edson and Brother Palmer first went, nothing had been done. Then Brother Palmer was called away, lest too much interest should be enlisted in the work. It was your duty to investigate the needs of the southern field and give encouragement to the workers, clearing the way so that the work could advance without so serious a risk to the health of the workers. But instead of this, you have made statements regarding the southern work which have no truth in them, and these statements have had their effect. You have criticized where you should have encouraged. God will, at some time, let you see the mistake you have made. You and Brother Wilcox, in consideration of the responsibilities you were carrying, drew large wages. Should you not have been considerate of those less favorably situated? The southern field was not an attractive or agreeable place in which to begin work, and the conjectures and suppositions of those who stood on one side and criticized have made the work much harder than it would otherwise have been. Not only were the workers criticized, but the money raised to help forward the work was diverted into wrong channels. This has robbed the southern field of years of advance. Who is responsible for this? The judgment will make plain some things which do not now appear. It will show the relief that might have been sent to the southern field, but was not sent. Thousands of dollars might have been sent to the South, but were not sent because men were unwilling to lift where they should have lifted. The Lord understands all about the work that might have been done, but was not done. The books of heaven have a record of the money invested in the southern work, and of the money, also, that was raised for that work and diverted from it by unfaithful management. Those at the Pacific Press might have helped and encouraged the workers in the South, but like the priest and the Levite, they passed by on the other side. The Lord's servants are to feel a noble, generous sympathy for every line of work carried on in the great harvest field. We are to be interested in everything which concerns the human brotherhood. By our baptismal vows, we are bound in covenant relation with God to make persevering, self-denying, self-sacrificing efforts to promote, in the hardest parts of the field, the work of soul-saving. God has placed upon every believer the responsibility of helping to rescue the most needy, the most helpless, the most oppressed. Christians are to enlighten the ignorance of their less favored brothers. They are to let the oppressed go free from the power of vicious habits and sinful practices. By imparting the knowledge sent from heaven, they are to enlarge the capabilities and increase the usefulness of those most in need of a helping hand. Christians are to be Christ-like in their earnest desire to save souls. The talent of speech is an invaluable gift. It is a means of grace. By it, sinners are to learn of God and Christ. Man should regard it as the highest honor to be enlisted in the soul-saving army. He should look upon no privilege more precious than that of imparting to others the knowledge he has received. The speech of Christians is always to be seasoned with grace. Their words are to be in harmony with their profession of faith. My heart aches when I think of how many more might have been saved to Christ if men had done their duty. What doth it profit, my brethren, if a man have faith and not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. James 2, verse 14 to 17. God says to those who profess to believe in him, Go forth into all parts of the world and diffuse the light of my truth, that men and women may be led to Christ. Let us awaken to our duty and do all that we can to help forward the Lord's work. Let superficial excuses be blown to the four winds. Let decided action commence on the part of all who can help. Let them cooperate with the angels sent from the heavenly courts to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. Forget not the words, We are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. No longer grieve the Spirit of God by delaying. Let volunteers undertake the work in Nashville, an important part of God's vineyard. Let these laborers, by earnest, persevering work, annex new territory. The work in the southern field will have to be, in some ways, managed differently from the work in other places, because of the wrong course which has been followed by those in responsible places. It has been necessary to establish a publishing house in the south, and those who have tried to hinder the work in this field will now have less to do for a field they have ignored. God holds them responsible for permitting their minds to be controlled by the enemy of righteousness. The years of delay, during which they have refused to cooperate with the workers in the southern field, have made it necessary to change the order of things. Under the ministration of the Holy Spirit, a revival must take place. A revival signifies a renewal of life, a removal of spiritual torpidity, a quickening of the powers of mind and heart, a resurrection from spiritual death. Reformation signifies a reorganization, a change in ideas and theories, habits and customs. But Reformation will not bring forth the good fruit of pure principle unless it is connected with the revival of the Spirit. Reformation and revival must do their appointed work, and in doing this work, they must blend. The foundation of Christian character is a faith in Christ that is built upon solid rock. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1, verse 12. He who builds upon the rock of ages is safe. Storm and tempest beat against his house in vain. But he who builds upon any other foundation builds upon shifting sand. Sermons have been in too great demand by our churches. The members have depended upon pulpit declamations instead of upon the Holy Spirit. The spiritual gifts bestowed upon them have dwindled into feebleness because uncalled for and unused. If the ministers would get out of the way, if they would go forth into new fields, the members would be obliged to bear responsibilities, and their capabilities would increase by use. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19-20. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 16. Christ gave his life for a fallen, degenerate race, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. To him who does this will be spoken the words of approval. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Matthew 25, verse 23.